Grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. The word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. We're here this morning to study in the things of the word of God. It's a little different than usual because today is our annual business meeting. But I am going to give a devotional message this morning, followed by the scripture of the week. And in preparation for that, let's go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer to make sure we are prepared for such things. This gives us the opportunity to confess sins if needed and also to humble ourselves so that we might be teachable. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to gather here at the church this morning, the fellowship that we have one with another. The opportunity we have this morning, not only to consider the truth of your word and how important it is to our lives, but also, Father, to have this business meeting this morning where we can learn so much about what is taking place at this local church. Thank you for all that you're doing. There are so many things that are happening in this church, so many ministries that are being supported, so many things that are a part of what this local church is all about, and the credit and the praise all goes to you, Father. You're the one who's at work in this church. You're the one who's bringing these amazing things about. So thank you, Father, for all your blessings. And thank you for supporting this local church the way you do. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus Christ's most precious and beautiful name. Amen. Well, we were just singing a hymn, and I actually didn't plan on this. It's kind of neat how God works all those things out for us, where he gives us the hymns. We were just singing a hymn. And it was talking about, in the last verse of Day by Day, it says, "Help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting till I reach the promised land." The essence of that third verse is really what I wanted to talk about in the devotional message. Trusting the promises of God. The importance of faith in our daily walk. How important it is to apply faith to our daily lives. And all that is associated with that. One of the things that I am discovering, and it's something I think needs to be addressed in the body of Christ, is that far too many people who are born-again believers in Jesus Christ truly do not experience joy and peace and calm and rest in their souls. And that is what is offered within God's holy word. And what did the hymn say, what is it all about? It's about trusting in the promises of God. And there's a term that some of you have heard before. Some of you may not have, but there's a term that some of you have heard before called faith rest. And it's the idea that as we apply faith to our lives, as we trust in the promises of God, that we can have rest in our souls. We can find that now, instead of being all churned up in turmoil within our souls, we can have calm and rest and peace and joy. This is what I believe is the abundant life that God has promised to his children. That we can be in the midst of a world around us that's full of chaos, toil and trouble, as the hymn says, toil and trouble meeting. And yet we ourselves cannot be in the midst of the toil in terms of being part of it, part of the chaos. Our souls don't need to be in chaos. We can be calm. We can be at peace. Now, what does that address in our lives? Anxiety? Fear? And I throw these things out and I see people nodding heads, but then when the rubber meets the road, when things are happening, what I see is Christians that are unable to make application. Christians that are unable to fix their eyes on Jesus, trusting in the promises of God and relaxing and being calm in the midst of testing. I see that with COVID. I've seen Christians that have been just absolutely caught up in fear and trepidation about COVID. Now, are we supposed to make proper decisions about what to do regarding COVID? Absolutely. If you have COVID, don't come to church. You know, if you find that you have COVID, get treatment if there is something they can do to help you with it. I mean, we're supposed to be smart about these things, but are we supposed to run around in fear as the rest do? The answer is no. We trust in God. We trust in the promises of God. What about in terms of something like the recent wildfire we had in the county? I think that's applicable. Are we supposed to make proper decisions about what to do because there's a wildfire burning in the county? Are there things that should be done with regard to that? Absolutely. But should we freak out and be in a total panic mode? And I think the answer to that is no. We're trusting in God. I was watching what was happening. I was looking at the updates that were coming from the Forest Service and from the Bastrop County Emergency Management, seeing what was happening, if the fire was moving in the direction of my home. For that matter, I was monitoring if it was going toward the cabin where we used to live, because I don't want to see that burn down either. But was I running around in panic mode, fearful and scared? No, we should not be. Because God is in control. God is the one who has us. And if something were to happen and my home were to burn to the ground, who's my provider? God Almighty is my provider. Is he going to provide me a place to live? Am I going to have provision? Absolutely. My point is, we need to be able to make application on these things, folks. Applying faith to our daily lives. And I've seen another thing that this can address. I talked about fear and anxiety. What about anger? I've seen people, Jesse and I were talking about this on the phone. I think probably what happened with this prescribed burn that got out of control is that they've been doing prescribed burns for a long time, actually, ever since the 2011 fire. They've been doing prescribed burns. And they've done burns in weather that was similar to the weather that we just had the other day on Tuesday when it started. They've gotten away with it. And Jesse's term for it was they've gotten a little cocky about it, right? That they kind of felt like they could do it and everything was going to be fine. We know what we're doing. So we can start this fire and it's going to be fine, right? That's where arrogance gets you in trouble. And I absolutely believe there needs to be some kind of accountability. And when I say that word on purpose. This whole thing needs to be looked into. It needs to be examined. And if there were mistakes made, they need to be corrected. And if it's mistakes that are procedural, they need to correct that. If it was personal, if somebody made a mistake, then they need to be held accountable and so on. But I have seen people, and I'm not talking about just anybody. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ that have a bloodlust. I'm telling you, if they had their way, they would find the person they think was guilty, put them in, lock and chains, and chop their head off in the middle of the town square. I mean, that's how angry they are about this. Now, listen, that is not a proper approach for a brother or sister in Christ. We should be able to approach it with a calm and a peace in our souls. Even with in the midst of what's going on, we should be able to be at calm and at peace and have joy and be able to think about it in a rational way. And this is my point. I'm not saying the fire wasn't scary. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about having a proper response to what's going on. Remember when I taught on responding versus reacting? What I'm seeing is a lot of Christians are reacting and not responding. And the thing about it is, what we should be able to do is respond, and we should be able to respond in grace and respond in love. And it's very important. And how do we do that? As I taught that lesson, I taught it from, it comes from the standpoint of faith. We make faith applications in our lives. That's how we respond. In love and grace, instead of overreacting in our sin nature, we respond in faith. It's all part of a faith-lived life. That's the same way we stay away from fear, the same way we stay away from anxiety. Faith is so important. And here's what happens. At some point when we're in the midst of toil and trouble and things are going on and they seem like they're out of control, which a lot of times certainly has a feel of that, doesn't it? Things are out of control. A lot of times, for some reason, we switch and we become just like anybody else on the planet. And we start to function in such a way that we're evaluating things from a human viewpoint rather than the divine viewpoint. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me on this? Faith is so important. Because if we can think of it from the faith viewpoint, if we can trust in God and we can trust in His promises and we can trust in the fact that He is sovereign and all the things that we know about God, then it helps us to have so much more calm and peace. We can have that faith rest. We can live the Sabbath day, the rest day, today, as long as it's called today. And I'm just giving an exhortation in that regard. I'm not pointing to anybody in this local church, by the way. I'm talking about just as I've encountered people that I know are brothers and sisters in Christ that have just gone off the deep end, quite frankly, with no other way to say it. They've gone off the deep end about certain things. And I think to myself, you know, I'm not going to make anybody raise their hand and answer the question for me. But right now, as you're sitting in your seat right now, how many promises of God can you think of? How many promises do you know of? At a very minimum, you should know of the promise in John 3:16, right? Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise of God. If you've believed in Jesus, you have everlasting life. So, again, I'm going to wrap up my exhortation here and go to the scripture of the week. But my point of all of this is that it's important in your daily walk. We talk about being in fellowship. We talk about being, you know, walking by means of the Spirit. All of these things are important. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But faith application to circumstances of life, I would even use the term, some of you are familiar with this, the details of life, right? As we encounter the details of life, faith application helps us to have faith rest, which allows us to enjoy the things that have been promised us in the Word of God, to enjoy the abundant life, and to not get wrapped around the axle about every little thing that comes our way. And that's my encouragement and exhortation to you, is that you would do that. Focus on making faith application day by day. Now, Scripture of the Week, because I want to get to the business meeting, is from Psalm 31, verse 15. And we're going to all read this together. Psalm 31, 15. My times are in Your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. You can go on. You can go on to verse 16. Make Your face shine upon Your servant. Save me in Your loving kindness. I want you to notice the hard attitude of the psalmist here. Right? The hard attitude of the psalmist. Psalm of David. Man of faith. Right? Hard attitude of the psalmist. He says, look, my times are in Your hand. Now, what does he mean by that? He's talking about the days of his life, the moment. When he was born and when he dies, all of that is in God's hand, right? All of it. He also means day by day, right? Not only is his lifetime in God's hand, but day by day. My times are in Your hand. And then what is he pleased to God? Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. So when he encounters trouble, what does he do? Turns to God. He turns to God. I'm under persecution. My enemies would like to kill me. And he goes to the Lord, deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. His focus is on God, right? And this hard attitude, this idea, my times are in Your hand, he's recognizing God's sovereign hand over his life. He knows, David knows, that he's not going to die one day before he's supposed to die. Not one moment before he's supposed to die. His times are in God's hands. He's not freaking out about his enemies because of the chance that they're going to kill him, because he knows that if he dies, that's when God had for him to die. He doesn't want his enemies and all of those that are persecuting him to get the best of him, because why? because he's trying to do the best thing for the people of Israel. David is concerned about more than just himself here. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Now, David went through a lot of weird things in his time, right? He was running, he was fleeing from things, there were all kinds of things going on. But ultimately, he was thinking about God and the people of Israel. He cared about his people, and he cared about doing the best thing for God. So he was asking, petitioning God, deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. So when he came into time of trouble, his thoughts immediately turned to God. That's what's supposed to happen to us, folks. So like when Terry and I were sick recently and we're dealing with all of that, we put it in the hands of the Lord. You put it in the hands of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we didn't take some medicine to try to help with whatever we were dealing with symptom-wise, but we put it in the hands of the Lord. We should do that with all these things that we encounter, whatever it is that we're dealing with in life. But now I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to turn it a different way. And I'm going to give you something to think about maybe you had never thought about before. I was reading in the Bastrop Pregnancy Resource Center, their newsletter that they sent out. This verse was quoted. Put it in the context. I want you to think about this. The little baby that's in the womb. And the little baby in the womb says, God, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Now, isn't that poignant? Isn't that a poignant verse to think about the little baby that's in the womb? That little baby, what can that little baby do to defend itself? See, David was a warrior. He could possibly defend himself. What could that little baby do to defend itself? It has to utterly and completely depend upon God for its protection. But look what it says. My times are in your hand. Whatever life that baby's going to have is in the hand of God. And if you think about it from the standpoint of a baby in the womb, boy, that makes it really powerful. If that baby's going to have life, if that baby's going to be born and have life, it's in the hand of God. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, from those who persecute me. The one thing that gives me calm in my soul about all the abortions that have taken place in this country and elsewhere in the world is that all of those souls are in heaven right now. All of those souls are in heaven right now because they never had a chance to make the choice whether to believe in Jesus or not. Their life was taken before they ever got a chance to be born from the womb. But this is something that is, I want you to think about that verse. Remember that verse and think about it in the context of that little baby in the womb. And the thing about it is, what's so ironic to me is that you will often in many different contexts, you'll hear people talk about the baby in the womb right up until it's time to make a decision about whether or not it's okay to do an abortion. And then they'll talk, oh, well, it's just fetal matter. It's just a tissue that's in there. That's all it is some tissue. It's not viable and all this kind of stuff. But just 5 minutes before that, they were talking about a baby in the womb. And if, I mean, that image, Derek sent me an image that they have. What do you call it? 3D. It's like a 3D thing or something, a 3D sonogram kind of thing, an image of the baby. I mean, if you can't look at that and see a baby, you're not trying. I mean, that's the reality. That baby in the womb is crying out in its heart these things that we see right there on the screen right there, that whether or not, you know, he's going to be delivered. He's crying out for deliverance from the hand of those who would persecute, the hand of the enemies. I mean, I think that's pretty poignant. I think that's pretty powerful. I love the fact that they sent that. So that's our scripture of the week. And again, that's all we're going to do today is just a simple devotion and scripture of the week. And I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. And then it'll give us the opportunity to get set up and get ready for the annual business meeting. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk about these things, to talk about the importance of faith in our daily lives, keeping our eyes fixed on you, on Jesus, our Savior, the idea that we would petition you for whatever we have needs for. And I thank you for this scripture of the week that reminds us of how important it is to recognize that our lives are in your hand. And Father, these babies that are in the womb, their lives
are in our hands and they're in your hand. And the reality of it is there are enemies to those babies. There are those that are persecuting those babies. There are those that would think nothing of having an abortion for those babies to die. But Father, we want to think about these children, these unborn children, just pleading for protection against their enemies. And thank you that more and more people are starting to come to realize that that is a life that's in the womb, that it's not just some tissue. And I thank you for the work that Bastrop Pregnancy Resource Center is doing to help people understand that. And I thank you for this opportunity we had today to consider that verse, not only what it means to us, but what it means to the unborn children. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.